Hello, this is Anne Levine, and that's Michael Levine.
Hello.
And this is the Anne Levine Show. It's January 18th, 2022. January 18th. And we're coming to you from WOMR 92.1 FM in Provincetown.
That's right, and WFMR 91.3 FM Orleans.
And you're hearing Dog Dreams. From the story, Jonathan Brooks' first band. And yeah. Obviously we're playing this for Rosie.
What a dog.
What a dog. And you should check out, look this song up, Dog Dreams by The Story, and check out the lyrics. It's hilarious. And I can't just sit here and play it for you because I need to talk.
Yeah, we got other stuff to do. Right? I mean, come on.
Well, you do.
You're doing other things, I'm sure.
I have to sit here like a lox and talk.
Yeah.
You know, as my father of blessed memory would say, Annie, don't sit there like a lox.
Okay, well.
You can't find anything to do, sharpen some pencils.
There you go. See? He had the.
He would say that, you know.
Right, well.
In the office.
Exactly, and he was right.
He would have anyone that dared come to him and say, I don't know what to do. I finished my work.
Yeah. Be like, hey, here you go.
He would say, really? And he did. He stuttered just like that.
Sharpen some pencils, people.
Go here. Take this. And he'd give you a pencil sharpener. Go sit in the showroom and sharpen the pencils.
There you go.
And there was a cup of pencils with about 75 pencils in each one.
Yeah, well,
it was no small thing.
No, of course not.
They were very skinny pencils. Everyone wanted them and loved them and coveted them.
We've still got some around here. They're really pretty cool.
I know.
Cool.
I need to enshrine them somewhere.
True.
Because when I see one, I don't want to use it.
No, we need to do something with that.
Yeah.
Put it in a shadow box or, you know.
Hey.
One of those creative things that you do.
You know, we don't have enough stuff around.
Oh, no, of course not.
Well, the other thing he would say is, the pencils are all sharpened, you say? Did you check the light bulbs?
That's right.
That was another thing. And you had to start like in the bathroom, through the hallways, then every room in the offices, and make sure the light bulbs were dusted. And chas v'shalom, if one was out, you had to change it immediately.
You sure did.
And buy a replacement.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think. Oh, emptying waste baskets.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Cleaning the lunchroom.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't matter who you were at that company.
No, of course not. If you weren't, if you didn't have something to do, plenty of stuff to do.
Now, on a day when he wanted someone to feel particularly... Oh, how shall I put it? Humiliated.
Okay. All right.
He would be doing, not because he wanted to make you feel humiliated, but he would do those things himself.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the last thing you wanted to do was come out of the office and go in the showroom to find Mr. Levine.
Sharpening pencils
and see
or
him
emptying.
Or checking light bulbs, sweeping corners, you know.
Okay.
You ran back.
Right.
So, I like to mention, otherwise you were accused of sitting at your desk like a lox.
Right, well, I mean.
Which I often was. You could
very well have been, yeah. I don't know.
On Fridays, when he left
fish
early,
on Fridays.
Well, precisely.
Yeah.
For the Catholics.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that had nothing to do with his offices, oddly enough.
Oh, yeah. I knew that, though. Yeah.
Or any of the vendors.
Right.
Now, everyone left early on Friday.
Right.
And the only reason my father left early on Friday was not because of Shabbat or something.
Uh-huh.
It was if he was coming up to the Cape for the weekend.
Right. He'd have to catch the right train.
Well, that was way back in ancient history.
Oh, okay.
But he would drive.
Okay.
And so he'd want to hit the road before rush hour.
Right, right. Get out there as early as you can before all of that.
Right. And on those afternoons. Because in
Newark,
afternoons,
you're gonna hit the wall.
Newark?
Not Newark. New Haven.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And if he hit New Haven at the right time, because you have to say New Haven.
Okay.
If you're
New.
Garmenta.
Yes. Okay. New Haven.
Emphasis on new.
Mm-hmm.
He would stop at Maycote.
Okay.
Run by Leo Clarick and Mel Kahn, two of his best friends.
Oh, good guys, I assume.
That's where Abraham with the curved ruler.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yep. That's where he was the tailor.
Gotcha.
I'm telling you, those putzes, how they... I still don't understand that whole thing. No one understood.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, he would stop there.
Maybe it was something that couldn't be understood, you know?
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, there are those things.
Abe. Abe of Maycote with his curved ruler.
The curved ruler. Huh? Never misses.
Then he would go to Casual.
Okay, right.
And see Stan Rutstein.
Good old Stan, yeah, we've heard about him.
Well, Stan came from a Hasidic. Stan was the president of Casual Corner.
Okay, all right. I remember that place.
Right? It was huge. It was like in every mall.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal.
Right. And then it turned into the Gap. It got folded into the Gap and Express. And it turned into a Mickey Drexler joint.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a whole thing. But he would stop there. And Stan Rutstein was a businessman who grew up in a Hasidic family and pulled the ripcord, pulled the payas.
Uh-huh.
And to get out of town, he left the fold and went into the garment business. But my father would not let it go. So whenever Stan called and you'd say, Mr. Levine, Stan Rutstein, line one, he'd pick up the phone and say, Rabbi Tenenbaum. And and Stan would get so angry.
Oh, that's very funny.
So angry. At any rate, that's how that went. How did I get on this? Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know, but I like it, you know?
These stories, I want to make sure that I have memorialized them in some way.
Yeah.
Sitting here like a lox. Yes.
Right. Sitting there
so
like,
you have what to do. You have pencils to sharpen.
Right, right. And
light bulbs to
sweeping
change.
Sweeping and stuff, yep.
Dogs to pets to
take care. I was actually very good
of.
At seeking out those things myself in my office career.
Well, the trick is to seek them out, but then do them.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, that was what I did.
Right.
I didn't like sitting around not doing anything. That doesn't look good.
It's not the best look.
Yeah.
It's really not.
No.
Well, what we did on Friday afternoon, and this, when Mr. Levine left early, that early meant like 2 hours maybe. Early.
Okay, yeah.
Leave at 3 o'clock. We would break out the times crossword puzzles.
Uh-huh.
And I say plural because we would make copies.
I see. Someone's and we'd all have it. Copies. Right.
So we'd all have our copy.
Right, and okay.
Friday's the hardest. Well, Saturday's the hardest.
And what, will you have a contest to see you could finish it quickest?
Oh, no.
Or? Okay.
I mean, who could, you know, make right? those 2 hours go the fastest? And the other game was initials. So
all
you'd
right.
write down the alphabet going down the page.
Yeah.
And then someone would say a sentence. So you'd pick up a book, maybe, or something, and you'd say, you know, the quick brown fox jumped over until you had two columns of letters.
Okay.
And then you had to come up with initial, though they were initials.
And you had to come up with names.
Famous people's
of famous
names.
Famous people with those initials.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay.
So that puts me in mind of this thing that has taken over everyone's lives
uh-huh.
in the past week.
Right.
Called Wordle.
Wordle, yeah. It really does seem to have done something. Everybody's posting something about it.
It's ridiculous.
I don't even know what it is.
Well, it's a really pain in the assy kind of game.
Okay.
Where you get... You can select how many blanks. You get a grid of blanks.
Okay.
And you get, I don't know, maybe 7 tries. Feel free, correctors, to correct me.
You're trying to, like, it's a hangman kind of game?
Yes, except you get 9 tries. And you've got all the letters available to you.
Right, okay.
Now, a letter can be used more than once.
Okay, yeah.
And
do you have to call it more than once? Or like on Wheel of Fortune, if you say T, all the T's light up?
No.
Okay.
This is 1 5-letter word. You can do it with 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 letter words.
Okay.
I think the longer the word, the easier the game is. But
uh-huh.
that's my... trick that I've just given everyone.
Okay, yeah.
However, say 5 letters. Right?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So let's say
about.
You put in, okay, about. And let's say you guessed plans.
Uh-huh.
So the A will light up in yellow, which tells you it's the
but
right letter, wrong
green.
Place.
Okay, so that's like Mastermind. And remember that game?
No. Nah.
Oh, okay.
Then
yeah.
your next row, you know, you try again, putting
yep.
it away somewhere else, and so on and so on.
Until you get a green
before you've reached 7 tries
yes.
or whatever.
Okay,
it is.
Yep.
The minds of people I know who are intelligent, thoughtful people who have what to do,
right.
you know, who don't sit like a lox.
Yeah,
or
right.
a veal. You know, some of my Christian friends call that sitting like a veal.
Okay, all right, yeah,
and,
I get that.
They are obsessed by this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a little word game obsessed too, but this game... I find has much more to do with luck than skill.
Oh, based on your first guess, right?
Yeah.
Because the closer you come on your first guess, the much easier it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, of course,
and,
yeah.
You know, given the letters you have, now see, here's another thing about it. If you're clever, if you know your words, if you're a dictionaryologist.
Right, yeah.
You have even more options than a veal.
Right, true, yeah. Many more options than a veal.
So, you know, you might think of 40 words that could be there, and you've got 7 guesses or whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
I can't with it. I can't.
Okay, all right.
And My friends are telling me that I've lost my edge.
Okay.
I think I've gained my edge, quite frankly.
It sounds pretty edgy to me, really.
You know who lost their edge a little bit this week?
A
couple of people.
Uh-huh.
To put it mildly.
All right.
Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, Novak, he lost a little bit of the edge.
Well, he got kicked out of Australia finally.
Bye-bye.
And I know...
For lying on his paperwork. And for being a tool about it.
And for not following the rules.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, right when he got... When he was told he had it, he went and did an interview.
And then he taught a clinic for children.
Right. And he had masks on, by the way. He had masks on for the interview and for the clinic thing, but for photos, he took masks off.
He also went to Spain and Monaco.
Right, and told Australia that he hadn't traveled that he anywhere had been home. In the last 14 days. Yeah.
So, you know, and then here's the thing that is most frustrating, is that when it first came to light that some of his lies had been discovered before he ever left for Australia.
Yeah.
He should have, you know, he should have sat down. I'm sure it's just been a nonstop cluster in his team.
Yeah. Oh, you know, absolutely.
About
yeah.
what to do when. And clearly he didn't listen to anyone.
Right.
And so
doesn't sound like it anyway. Yeah.
So he ended up spending 5 days in immigration jail.
Yeah.
Hotel.
And then deported.
And
missing out on his chance to do the
to break the record of Nadal. Right. He's tied three ways
with
Nadal Federer.
Yeah.
For 20 Grand Slams.
Right. And this one, if he had played and won...
Would have been 21.
That would have been 21.
And he, you know, I'm not sure who said it. Several people said this. Several players said, it's a shame that he didn't just get the vaccine.
Yeah, it would have been so much easier.
And
just
like that.
Get the stupid shot.
It would be done. However,
I mean, this is even the second time he's had COVID.
Well, you know, I think that even though he claims that you can focus and pray.
Right. And
the COVID away.
Right.
You can detoxify water.
Yes, of course. That's the thing.
So
I'd like to see him
with prayer.
Yep.
Oh boy.
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, bye-bye to that guy.
Mm. I'm afraid that what he may have done is tarnish his image and his record forever.
Well, yeah. I don't know if we've actually heard the end of it yet, because he's in trouble with Serbia. He's in trouble with Spain. You know, with all those other places he went to.
Yeah, I mean, Serbia is obviously not going to do anything to him.
Well,
he's their biggest export.
Right, I saw him do the landing in Belgrade, and there was a big crowd, and they were all very excited to see him and everything. But you know, officially, you know, he's been flouting the rules, even theirs. So,
yeah. So anyway, now that he's gone and the Open started, holy smokes.
Yeah, there's been some tennis, hasn't there?
Well, I watched a game yesterday. I watched Nadal play an American that I was not familiar with.
Cressy.
No.
No?
It wasn't Cressy.
Oh,
it was
Gorin or Right?
It's spelled G-I-R-O-N, and I don't know if it should be pronounced Giron, but I guarantee it's like
Giron.
Giron or Giron or Geronimo. I don't know. But seeing Nadal's play was so thrilling.
Yeah.
And I was bouncing, literally.
You really were, yeah.
And flailing. I kicked my tray table open at one point that had all my papers on it where I was working on writing a piece.
Uh-huh.
All of it went flying.
Went flying.
And Michael was like,
somebody hit a pretty cool shot.
Oh, God. It was amazing.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a lot. It was fantastic tennis.
Well, the whole thing excites me for a couple of reasons. One is I love tennis. I'm a complete tennis freak.
Yeah.
And the other is that I'm watching people in the heat, in sunny, hot Australia.
Exactly.
And, sunny and hot is my jam. I love it.
Yeah.
You get to live tennis season, people.
Vicariously through them.
And I know that I'm on the road up on that beautiful roller coaster.
Yes.
That will next get to the Paris Open, to Roland Garros.
Yep.
And clay.
Right.
Which is
very nice.
That's such an amazing thing. I must tell you.
You learned to play on that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you remember that.
No, I do remember that, yeah.
Bizarrely, here on the Cape, where I learned to play tennis was on clay courts, which was and is very unusual.
Yeah. I thought it was very cool.
Yeah, it was. It was quite a different game than it is on, a bed of nails or whatever else people play on.
Right.
On
Asphalt.
Let me just tell you, if you want to see some very exciting tennis, look up, you can see it on YouTube or on the Tennis Channel or something, the Lendl Chang Championship at the Paris Open 1989.
Okay.
Is mind-blowing. And I watched part of it today. I am not someone who likes to go back and watch a match from whenever, from the olden days, as my sister would say. This is freaking amazing.
Okay.
Truly. And what Chang did to make it happen, incredible. And here's my favorite goof of the day. I was making notes for things I wanted to mention.
Okay.
And I wrote Yvonne Lendl versus Nathan Chang and at Roland Garros.
I see.
Now, Nathan Chang, of course, is the men's figure skater.
Yeah.
That so just won the nationals, I think.
I was thinking that would be an interesting tennis match.
Or skating, whatever.
True.
That would be hilarious.
I mean, depending on which, who had home court advantage.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Michael Chang.
Michael Chang,
and it is fantabulous.
Okay.
And summer's coming, people.
It really is, yeah. That's what they say. Okay, can I tell you? Okay. I can see from my house a lilac tree in the backyard. And I can see the bud, the leaf buds already growing. I've seen this for like a week and a half. Growing on this tree already we're not even midwinter. We're
in the depths of winter.
Yeah. Why are the trees budding?
I don't know. And it's, I find that terrifying, really.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, especially because it is the dead of winter, and it's not like we've been having a heat wave.
No.
It's not like it's been unseasonably warm. It's been damn cold.
Yeah. It really has. I mean, yeah. The ground is frozen.
I mean, I've been wearing layers of sweaters.
In the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, sweater socks, sweater pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
Then a sweater with a hoodie on it, maybe a cardigan.
Yeah. And well, I mean, it is a 300-year-old house, so it is a little drafty.
In which we can't use our fireplaces.
Right, yeah.
So anyway. Enough.
So, tennis. We've got tennis.
I watched on Sunday night The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my goodness.
With Spider-Man and Jessica Chastain.
And for those of you who don't know, that's Andrew Garfield.
Right. One of the Spider-Men.
As the Bakers.
Oof.
Jessica Chastain and Jim Baker.
Jim Baker, yeah.
And actually, I gotta say, well, Jessica Chastain was amazing. She
really is incredible. Wow. She's an incredible actress. Yeah,
she had that nailed. The laugh, the voice, the whole thing.
The weird pronunciations. The just odd.
Well, a bunch of that was from Minnesota, don't you know?
Right.
I didn't know that's where they were from.
Okay.
Well, Cherry Jones played her mother. And was superb.
Yeah, that was... boy, I didn't like that part.
What part?
The beginning with the mom and stuff. It bothered me.
What bothered you about it?
When she said, "Why won't you let me go to church?"
Oh.
That thing was like, oh my God.
Well, she was definitely mistreated / abused by her mother.
Yeah.
And her father.
I mean, it's quite a story.
It's an incredible story.
Yeah.
And even though you probably know some or a lot of what happened later on, but I didn't know a thing about their early lives and how they met and all of it.
Yeah. Well, I knew a lot of people back in the day were always watching the PTL Club, so I knew of them.
Ugh.
You know. Yeah.
Well, PTL, yes. And the scams that Jim Baker ran.
Man. Yeah.
And the various relationships he had with men, with women. Jessica Hahn. Hello, remember her?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Anyway, it was fascinating to me. And one of the things that I found out about Tammy Faye is that she was actually a decent person.
Uh-huh.
And she was willing to do things like reach out to the LGBTQ community.
Right.
When none of the rest of them were.
No. And that was actually frowned upon by the rest of the PTL people. You can't.
Well, not the PTL people, like the 700 Club people.
Right. Those, yes.
They started the 700 Club. Did you know that?
I don't remember that.
Yes, and then Falwell took it over.
Pat Robertson.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They're all the same to me, I hate to say. At any rate, and Vincent D'Onofrio as Falwell?
Right. Oh, he was great, wasn't he?
Incredible.
Yeah.
So it's really great acting. It's very sad what happened to her. in the end.
Yeah.
And she reached out to, in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan was refusing to even say the word AIDS, she reached out to an AIDS patient named Steve Peters.
Right.
In San Francisco, and interviewed him on television. And he is still alive.
Oh, good for him.
And in the gay men's chorus of San Francisco.
No kidding. Good for
him. And I am so thrilled for him. And I'm really proud of her for, you know, she always said that God loves everybody, you know, the way they were made, the way they are.
Yep.
And I just think there was a lot more to her that was honorable than, you know, all we really think about is the makeup.
Right.
And the outfits.
Most of which was actually permanent.
Some of it was, ultimately,
Other than the eyelashes, which were fake, but she wasn't going to take them off.
Right.
But she had,
she had tattooed eyeliner.
Tattooed lip liner all the way
around. That freaked me out.
Yep. And, and eyeliner, and her eyebrows were tattooed on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, oof, that got messy, messy, messy.
Yeah, well, there was a scene in it where the stylist was like, okay, let's do something. Let's do something.
A little here, different. Honey.
Yeah. And she's like, this is what I am.
Yeah. This is permanent, honey. Yeah. We can't do anything different with this.
It was pretty. It was pretty wild.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that was a good one.
So anyway, I actually recommend The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I think it's got some flaws, but it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And the acting is superb. And here's the other PS. At the same time that Steve Peters is alive and singing, Jim Baker is also still alive.
That is correct. And he's still doing the same thing.
Except now he sells buckets.
Right. He sells survival buckets.
Now, this is Legacy Food Storage.
Uh-huh.
Is the name of the company. And this is, I'm not sure what they are prepping for. Do you know?
End times, I guess.
Is it end times?
I think, yeah.
But I mean, if you're...
Or, you know, the government coming after Christians or whatever. Yeah, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Terminators, all that.
Well,
zombie apocalypse. Now, they may not believe that part, but actually there are some people that think that might happen. So,
well, they sell
probably based, you know, the zombies are probably going to come from the 5G chip we've all been injected with.
Right.
Since we got the vaccine.
Well, it's emergency food, and they also sell survival gear, water, and fuel and energy.
Right.
You can get a 720 serving package, that's 185 pounds, of food.
Okay.
For a one-time purchase of $1,900.
Okay.
Or you can subscribe and save.
Uh-huh, that's the way to do it, really.
For $1,500 now. So it all depends on how long you need to survive.
I guess.
You kind of have to plan that out. So if you're going to survive more than 8 months.
Yeah. You might want to go with the subscription.
Exactly.
Route. Yeah.
And then I guess you could change your mailing address to the tent on Ruby Ridge or wherever the hell you live.
They'll know where it is by that time. Everybody will know these things, you know.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And it's so depressing to me.
The old highway.
The old highway?
Yeah. You know.
Oh, you're like, you're thinking The Stand.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I usually
yeah.
am.
No, you're right. I was silly not to. Here's one of my favorite things about this, okay? You won't get tired of your emergency rations.
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
What? Yeah, that
because
is the question, really.
There are 12 different entrees.
No kidding.
And 4 different breakfasts.
Oh, man.
Here's my favorite part. All these meals have undergone a nitrogen flush.
Oh,
now,
that is
I
so
assume
good.
That means that they've been, I don't know, flushed down a toilet and come up with the bends. I mean, what does that mean, Michael?
I don't really know what that means.
A nitrogen flush.
I don't know. I'll look it up, though.
And the choices are also hilarious. It's like mac and cheese, rigatoni with meatballs. It's like Vegas buffet. Well, no, it's more like steam table food.
Yeah.
You know?
A nitrogen flush is basically when they vacuum seal things, they flush it with they fill it full of nitrogen first to blow out all of the oxygen to make sure all the oxygen is gone, and then they seal it.
Oh.
So
well,
that's basically.
I know. I'll be nitrogen flushing everything.
Yeah.
Another.
And then you increase the shelf life by a lot.
You do?
By getting rid of the oxygen. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. It's so depressing. So depressing. There's another food item.
Okay.
That Michael and I have to tell you about. Chopped is doing this thing that I may have mentioned last week.
Right, the Casino Royale
right.
thing, yeah.
And if you get an ingredient that you want to swap out for something, you roll the dice.
Literally, right. They've got a craps right. table set up there, and they've got some big, are they regular-sized dice? Yeah.
Whatever.
And they throw the dice. You get an odd number. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an even number, could be pretty good.
Right.
So, and boy, most of the time, people are gambling away one of the ingredients, right? Because one of them usually stinks.
Well, the one that most people wanted to be rid of this week, on this week's episode, was something called cod melt.
Cod melt. That's correct.
Now, yeah. For those of you who may not be familiar with cod melt, because it is an item that is practically never seen or eaten in the United States of America.
Right. No, I imagine it's a bit more Asian.
Japan is quite popular,
uh-huh.
which makes sense.
I don't know how, but yeah, continue.
Well, because, you know, we have different...
Because they're into this kind of thing. Yep.
Well, it's... Just put in mind the most disgusting thing when
okay.
you said that, but I don't think I can say it on the air.
Okay, well...
Anyway, cod melt is sperm.
Yeah, it's fish jizz.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's the jizz sacks, actually.
Yes, of
fish.
Cod, yeah.
Well, of any fish.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's all called cod melt.
Cod melt, yeah.
Now.
And it's a food item for some people.
I
don't get it.
I was shocked.
Uh-huh.
Because, first of all, when you see this stuff, One thing I thought was, oh my God.
Yeah, it better be a big fish.
These better be whales.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is very big large.
Chunks of stuff.
Oh, yuck.
It's really.
This is extremely large semen.
Yeah, it's really.
Extremely large sperm, you know, the individuals. But, you know, some guy managed to cook something.
Right, with this in it.
That actually went through with flying colors.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, well, hard to admit, but this is actually good. And I love it when you see Mark Conant sniffing something.
Uh-huh.
Which he often does before he will taste it.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I would normally I think, oh, please, that's rude. But this is something that I.
But yeah, if you knew you were getting cod milt, you'd have to give it a sniff first, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or else don't tell me.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Just tell me it's cod milt.
Yeah.
And I'm fine.
There you go.
You know, and you would say, well, what part of the cod is that? And they might say, the lower region. You know, just something
near
like
the
that.
The loin.
Yes. It's near the loin of the cod. You know, the shanks. That's where it is.
That's exactly it.
Oy. Cod melt.
Oh,
so
gosh.
That was positively.
Oh man, that was something
revolting. But I gotta say, the cod melt wasn't as bad as the guy who ended up with bitter melon,
right?
Okra the size of
Chinese okra,
right?
Which is like 3 feet long,
right?
Yeah,
and sea cucumbers.
Ugh.
And cocktail sauce or something.
Yep.
Just
three really disgusting, awful,
tough, bitter ingredients.
And cocktail sauce to wash it down.
Yeah. Just, or jelly beans. I don't know. There was some nasty, nasty stuff on this last show. But I love seeing how these chefs manage to produce something edible.
Yeah.
Out of these baskets, it really requires an incredible amount of something.
Somebody what gambled away the sea cucumber, I think, and got fish heads.
No, that was the cod melt.
Oh, okay.
And got
and
fish,
got
heads,
fish heads,
which is really good.
Right, which was not supposed to be a good thing, but it turned out to be a very good thing.
Well, you can throw that in a pot and make
broth
some fish
out of it,
stock.
Or fish cheeks, which are, you know, there's a lot of flavor in there.
Yep.
Depending on the fish. Yeah, and that person won.
Yes, she did.
That's right. So, there you go.
Yes, she did. Anyway, people, I'm telling you, this is a good season.
It's really fun,
of Chopped to watch. And
okay.
Speaking of fish jizz.
Yeah.
Prince Andrew.
Yes. You mean Andrew. Mr. Andrew.
Yeah. Mr. Windsor.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's Mr. York.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. York.
Mr. York.
Mr. York.
Uh-huh.
He's in a lot of trouble.
Oh, he is in a lot of trouble, yeah.
Indeed he is. He's going to be subpoenaed to testify in New York.
Uh-huh.
In this Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking ring.
Right. Investigation thing.
Which he was clearly a part of. So he's now been stripped of his titles.
Right.
Except, go ahead.
What, royal patronage.
Right.
Yeah.
And like his military titles.
Yeah. And he's not got any official duties at all.
Yeah.
Although he is still listed in the group of people that that are available if something happens to the queen.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, something would have to happen to the queen.
And everybody else.
And
yeah,
Princess Anne.
Yeah.
And Prince Philip and Camilla.
Right. And their dogs.
Camilla's laundry.
Exactly.
You know, before hurt
Andrew
her.
Got a whiff of any of that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think that he is going, I think he will stop being the prince of anything.
Yeah.
Except the prince of Epstein.
There you go, yeah.
Perhaps.
Eek.
Yeah. So.
Also not a good look.
What do you mean?
Well, just in reference earlier, we were talking about not a good look. This is not a good look, Andrew.
Yeah. you know, all of these names are now sounding ridiculous to me. They're saying that Prince Andrew likely dated Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay.
Ghislaine.
Yeah. Ghislaine, yep.
Oh, God. At any rate.
Sounds a little fishy.
Right. A friend and ex-royal guard testified to that fact.
Okay, well.
Could someone tell me what is wrong with people?
No, I don't have that answer.
I mean, you're
for
the.
What is wrong with those people?
You're the Duke of York, or the. No, the Prince yeah. of York? I don't know.
I don't know
who
what
cares?
You are. Yeah.
But you
no,
have
probably the Duke, yeah.
Billions.
Got all the money.
And
richest family there is in that whole place.
And you have to get with sex traffickers? Really?
Yeah, I guess.
Really? I don't know. I am stunned by the absolute idiocy of people and what they will throw away to get off.
Yeah. How about that?
Ugh.
It is insane.
It is insane.
Absolutely insane.
Well, I have got to say, as someone who has for a long time expressed my displeasure with the monarchy.
Right.
This does not, I'm not bothered.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad, in fact, that since he did these things, he's getting his comeuppance.
Yeah, right. He's being held accountable to a point, at least. I mean, we don't know what point that is.
Everything sounds like a bad sex joke now.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm. Kind of, yeah. Well, I guess it always does.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You are right.
Here's one of my favorite things that came across my screensaver.
Okay.
Where little news items
All right.
pop
yep.
up. The Gem, Norwegian, cancels Caribbean cruise mid-voyage.
Yeah.
All right.
So Norwegian Cruise Lines,
mm-hmm.
the ship called The Gem.
Correct.
They're out cruising around.
The Caribbean.
And then in the middle of the cruise, they're like,
oh, COVID breakout.
Yep, sorry, we're not doing this
canceled.
Anymore. We're all done.
Everybody out.
But they can't really do that, can they? Can they do that?
Well, I mean, obviously, hopefully, obviously, what they mean is that, you know, they're not going to keep visiting ports.
Right.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, all right, we're in the middle of the sea. This cruise is over.
Yeah, I mean, everybody out.
Yeah.
So in the lifeboats, you guys make your way home. We don't know.
Who writes this stuff?
Lord, I don't know.
I mean, I hope that whoever wrote this had a sense of humor.
Uh-huh. Do you think they did?
I don't know. I hope they did.
Yeah.
So often you'll see things on the Chiron that are... It seems too funny to be an accident.
Uh-huh. Yeah?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday.
Yes.
And that's a national holiday.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it, is a miracle that there's a holiday.
It's pretty surprising, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got Andrew Jackson, who we cannot get replaced by Harriet Tubman on the 20.
I don't know why.
Well, yes, you do.
Well, yeah, white people.
White people.
Yep.
Exactly.
We do have Maya Angelou now on the back of a United States quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
That's a step in the right direction.
They're doing five quarters of famous American women, and she gets to be one of them. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I learned.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not really much, but it's at least something.
It is something.
Yeah.
And hopefully onward and upward.
Yeah.
Jackson being on the 20 makes me so angry, furious. Now, I learned.
He was a creep.
Oh, he was a murderous, racist scum of the earth.
Yeah, he really was.
Oh, what a dark thing it is.
Yep.
That's why I only like to be paid in Franklin's. Okay.
That's right.
That's in my rider.
That's exactly right.
Whenever I get paid, it's in Franklin's. All right, in Benjamin's. So here's an interesting thing, fascinating thing.
You are.
Dorothy Parker.
Okay, I love Dorothy Parker.
Never met Martin Luther King.
Okay.
But admired him so much that when she died, she left her entire estate to Martin Luther King.
No kidding.
She died a year before he.
And I had no idea.
I didn't either. I just found this out. And upon his death, the remainder, and this included the rights, the royalties and everything from her writing, because she only had a modest estate. She had no family.
Yeah.
And so that after he passed, it was supposed to go to the NAACP.
Okay.
Now, Lillian Hellman was the executrix. Lillian Hellman was Dorothy's best friend.
Okay, right.
She was not kindly disposed towards Martin Luther King or the NAACP.
How nice.
God, people suck.
Yep.
But anyway, it finally did get straightened out, and that is what ended up happening.
Oh, well, good.
With her estate. And I think that just, Dorothy Parker just gained a whole lot of bonus points.
Yeah.
In the game of life, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I already admired her. And I like her even better now.
Well, she adores you.
Of course. Yeah.
And there's one other thing I wanted to say about someone who marched with Martin Luther King. And his name was Israel Dresner, a rabbi. And he died yesterday at the age of 92.
Oh, wow.
And he and Martin Luther King were close friends, and he was arrested 4 times in the 60s for his work as a freedom rider.
Wow.
And in 1961, he went to Tallahassee to protest blacks being barred from an airport restaurant, and so on. Amazing man.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him and of his brethren. Wow, I'm getting a little bit clamped. So let's just leave it there for Israel Dresner of blessed memory. Please put a light on.
It won't matter. I thought I was by.